sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open it to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. I would this morning, if the Lord be with us, I'd like to continue our study of the person of Jesus Christ and His teachings. I know we're starting somewhere different, but I want to lay a little bit of a foundation work, kind of stir up our pure minds of way of remembrance of some things that we need to know before we go into our next keystone of our Christian life, of our kingdom living. I've been enjoying the study so far and looking at these things that Christ teaches us are of utmost importance to us if we want to fully enjoy the kingdom of heaven which is at hand, that He tells us about there in the 6th chapter of Matthew. But I want to this morning to begin looking here in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I want to stop there. I want to start this morning with laying, a little bit of a foundation. Remind us of some things that I know and trust that we all know and understand as best we can this side of glory. Everybody knows that this Thursday is Thanksgiving. A time that I'm thankful that so far the nation still takes time to stop and be thankful for. It's a day that we should not neglect or overlook or get so caught up with what's coming next month. We all know what that is, right? Yet so caught up with what's coming next month that we totally forget that we have, as a nation, been willing to set aside a day particular for families to come together in thankfulness, though they won't admit it today, thankfulness to God. Not the nation, not the government, not our fellow Americans. We have a day set aside to thank our veterans. We have a day set aside to thank those that are still in the armed services. We have a day to set aside for thanking them. But this is a day set aside to the thankfulness to God for His blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. The reality is, if we were willing to take the time to thank God for everything that He has given us, we would run out of days to be able to thank Him for everything that we have. And so much of what He has given us is either in spite of us or without our even thinking. God is just that good. I mean, think about it for just a minute. I'm being serious. I mean, we need to be thankful, giving thanks unto the Father. How much time of your day do you spend thinking about breathing? Now, there's times I've had to think about my breathing. Being in the fire service, when you put one of those air packs on your back and you run headlong into a burning house, you'll go through a 45-minute bottle in about 10 minutes if you don't train yourself to breathe. Because you're working and the adrenaline's pumping and you're going and you're tearing and you're working away and you'll right on through that bottle and your fellow man's going to be upset with you because you need to go back out way too soon. You have to teach yourself and make yourself slow down and think about your breathing. In my work life, in welding, I've got a lung full of gas that's heavier than air, and I've had to make myself stop and breathe. I'll have to think about it sometimes. And though y'all might think it's silly and I'm just after brownie points, there's been times my wife has walked into a room I've had to make myself remember to breathe. There's times in life that'll take your breath away and you have to stop and think, I need to breathe. But so much of the breath in our lungs, God is so good to us, He gives it to us without us even thinking about it. Because God's just that good. How many of you are sitting out there right now thinking, pump in, pump out, pump in, pump out, pump in, pump out, pump in, pump out, and making your heart go, go, go? God is just so good, He's made that automatic, and it'll pump just as long as He has use for it. God's just that good. Which one of you this morning had to get up before the sun and tell the sun to come up so we could have another day? Now, some of us get up before the sun. Some of us don't understand a sunrise ever happens. We think it just shows up in the middle of the sky because we sleep in the mornings. But God does that. Because God's just that good. Lord knows I messed today up enough. I'm not deserving of another day. But God gives it to us anyway. How many of you enjoy the fall colors? I've been thoroughly enjoying them this year. It's been a beautiful fall. Which one of you went out there and painted the leaves? God did that. God set it in motion. The list could truly go on and on and on as long as we wanted it to, and it'd probably be a good Sunday morning for me to just sit up here and remind you of everything that we have to be thankful for that chances are we don't even take the time to think about. God put oxygen in the air. Did any of y'all do that? God's just that good. He knew what we needed and He put it here perfectly for us. The perfect mix to sustain life. God's just that good. But all of those blessings, we're told in Scripture that He allows the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He brings the rain on the just and the unjust. Everybody on this earth has reason to give thanks unto God, whether they know Him or not, whether they're His children or not. They have reason to give thanks, though they won't. God's just that good that He does it whether we thank Him or not, because He's just that good. But we as children of God can go even further than those things that come upon the just and the unjust. The non-elect fill their lungs without thought the same as I do. The non-elect, their heart beats on this earth just the same as mine does. The sun rose on the non-elect the same as it did on us this morning. The sun rose on the unregenerate the same as it did the regenerate. But those of us that are His can go even further than that and say there are some things we can be thankful for that are in spite of us. God did it on purpose against us, because if it was according to us, God would have done nothing. And some of these things, the chiefest of these things, Paul tells us about, and I want us to have it as a way of stirring up our minds before we get into Matthew this morning. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is God that made us meet, made us suitable, made us capable of receiving and partaking of the things of the Spirit. It is God that made us do that. Y'all know that? Well, I tell you, y'all are an awful somber group this morning. God made us meet, made us suitable, made us fitting to be able to receive the things of God. It's not the gospel that does it. It's not the church. It's not mom and dad. It's not grandma and grandpa. It's not the scriptures. It's not the preacher. It's not the TV shows. It's not any of the other things that are of this world that makes that happen. It is God that made us able to hear Him. It is God that made us able to understand Him. It is God that has made it able for me to stand up here and try to preach for Him. As I promise you, I couldn't do this without Him. I woke up just as somber as y'all did this morning. And I've had to get over it same as y'all do. I'm poking at you. Y'all need to perk up here. It is God that has made us meet and suitable for these things. We need to be thankful for that. Because we couldn't have done it. There is no way under the sun that I could have made myself suitable to try to preach the gospel of God. There is no way under the sun I could have made myself suitable to even hear His voice and understand His directions and decrees. We could not do this without Him. And that is 100% in spite of us. Ain't God good? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's already done that. It's finished. The finished works of Christ are some of the greatest things that we have to be thankful for. If we continue our study on the person of Christ, I want to look at the works of Christ and how many He accomplished and all the things that He accomplished on this earth for us. I want to learn those things. But the finished works of Christ that Paul is being inspired to write about here are some of the most blessed things we could possibly think of. God, through His Son Jesus, has delivered us out of the power of darkness. He has delivered us out of that. We were in it. And you know, there is no mixing of light and dark. He didn't look down in the darkness and see the little lights flickering in there so that He could pick us out. He looked into the darkness and He saw darkness. And God is so good, and He knows us so well. He knows those that He loves well enough that He was able to look into the darkness and see us that were the same exact darkness as everything else that was there, and was able to grab individually every one of His people out of that darkness. God didn't take His mighty hand and scoop into the darkness and come up with a handful and say, "Yeah, I'll take those." Like a kid trying to catch some tadpoles. That's not what God did. He looked into the darkness and He knew us well enough to recognize us, even though we were the exact darkness. You were sometimes darkness. He was able to look into that darkness and know us well enough to recognize us, even though we were the exact same as everything in that power, and grab us out individually.
and pull us out of the power of darkness and deliver us. Every word of this is so good. It's not even my focus this morning, and it's hard to not chase every one of them. But anybody ever ordered a pizza and watched the delivery man leave it out there in the street for you to go to find it? He tends to do. Now, sometimes we can have deliveries that go to the wrong place because we're worldly, and FedEx messes up a lot of times. But God delivered us. He had a place He wanted us. And He took us out of darkness and He put us there. We're no longer in the power of darkness. We're no longer lost in that dark world, just being a bunch of darkness ourselves, wandering around in the darkness, bumping into each other, and not knowing what in the world's going on. He's taken us out of that power of darkness. And He didn't leave us the same. Delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. What happens when you translate something? You change every part of it. If you've ever taken even a little bit of a foreign language course, you understand that the entire metrics, the way language works, everything about language, it's not just that they say other words, they say it completely differently than what we do. In the English language, we don't use double negatives. You know, in the French, they double negative everything. They say no before and after everything. The way that they speak is completely different than the way that we speak. And if we're going to translate, it's not just a matter of using different words. We have to completely change the way that we speak. A translation is not taking us out of darkness and shaking some of that darkness off and setting us over here to the side. He translated us. He looked into that darkness and saw pitch black. And was able to recognize us well enough to grab us. And as He pulled us out and He took us out, He changed us into light. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Amen. Don't give me this. I don't have any light of my own. Hogwash. The best I could possibly do is reflect. Yes, you need to be reflecting Christ. Yes, you need to be reflecting Him. Yes, you need to be showing Him. But do not sell yourself short of saying, the best I can do is, now are ye light in the Lord. He translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. He changed you irrevocably and placed you. He delivered you not part of the way there. He didn't take you out of the darkness and set you in the world and say, find your way home. He delivered you out of the power of darkness, placed you into the kingdom of His dear Son, changed irrevocably. Ain't God good? Y'all see why y'all need to perk up this morning? It's what it took to perk me up. Think about these things. We have so much to be thankful for that is in spite of us. I was pitch black darkness. I deserved. I belonged in the darkness. I wasn't lost and foreign there. That's where I belonged. I didn't belong over here with Him. But God wanted me over here with Him, so He was willing to take me out of it and put me over there, changed and fitting and suitable for the kingdom. Translated. The way I work is completely different than the way I was. And the same goes for every one of the children of God. Why is that? Why is that? How is it that we're translated? In whom? That's Christ. The whom is Christ. In Christ. We have redemption through His blood. Those that He reached down into the darkness and He grabbed were His. They were His when they were there. That's why He recognized them. That's how He knew them. That's how He was able to grab the ones He wanted. He knows His own. Amen. You can't redeem something that's not yours. You can buy it. You can purchase it. You can steal it. You can do anything along those lines. But you cannot redeem something that is not already yours. That's the reason a Kroger coupon is only good at Kroger, because it belongs to Kroger and they're buying it back from you. The same thing goes. Christ redeemed us because we were already God's children. Not so that we could become the children of God, because we were already His to begin with. And again, that redemption is through the blood of Christ plus nothing. It's not the church, it's not PB, it's not KJV, it's not grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, gospel preacher, television show that scared me bad enough that I thought I just had to have God today. It was redemption through the blood of Christ plus nothing. Amen. Ain't God good? Yes. And then just like Paul wants to put a cherry on top, a little sprinkle of goodness over the top of it, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's my focus this morning. The forgiveness of sins. Have you ever dealt with somebody, ever worked with somebody, known somebody, been with somebody, been around somebody that you've done something wrong to in the past? Everybody can say, yes, me. And you ever been with them, been around them, dealt with them, worked with them, and you know they love you, they know they're glad to have you around, but you can see it in their eyes that they know what you did and they're just waiting for the right moment to say, you remember what you did to me last year. You ever worked with somebody like that? Ever dealt with somebody? Everybody had somebody like that in your life? You know God's not doing that. He's forgiven. This is on top of. This is beyond the fact that He's redeemed us. On the cross, it would be so easy to just get lost in this and not even make it to Matthew. On the cross, God took our sins, our trespasses, and our sins from us, and He placed them onto His dear Son. And when He placed them there, He didn't just sweep them under the rug of grace and try to pretend they weren't there. Jesus paid for our sins in full, in completion. The punishment of our sins was upon His head. And He died that day on the cross for our sins. Judgment day had passed. And the punishment was death. And Jesus Christ experienced that death that we will never experience. This flesh will stop breathing. This heart will stop pumping. And the day will come, if God tarries His coming, that every one of us will fall over or fall asleep, whatever the case may be, wherever we're at, we're going to die. But we will not experience the death that Jesus experienced on the cross. A death where He was able to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You want to know the answer to that question? Because He had been made to be our sin. And God will not look on it. And He turned His back on His Son, and Jesus died on the cross for the redemption of our sins. And our sins had the punishment poured out upon Him in that 3 hours of darkness. There was a lot going on in that 3 hours of darkness. An eternity of punishment was poured out on Him in 3 hours. That's redemption. But God took it even further than that. He forgave us. You ever known anybody who's done something wrong and paid the price? They've paid the fine. They've done the time. And on the far side of it, they can't get employed. They can't get anybody to deal with them. They can't get anybody to work with them because they're constantly viewing them through the lens of their trespasses. Of you were a fugitive. You were a sinner. You were a murderer. You were an adulterer. You were a liar. You did deceive me. You hurt me last month. You hurt me last year. You told me something that wasn't true. And I'll move on and I'll love you and I'll hug you. But I'm not going to let you live it down. I'll remind you the first chance I get. That's unforgiveness. God didn't do that. God went further than paying for our sins. He forgave them. We're told in Psalms 103. I want to read it because I don't want to misquote it. 103rd Psalm. Psalms 103, I want to start in verse 8. The whole psalm is good, but just for not using too much time, I want to start in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. God doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities. God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our transgressions from us. You can't reach the two. As long as you walk east, you're continuing east, you'll never reach a point where the compass will read west. You can't reach it. You can't bridge it. You can't come across the gap. Because God has forgiven us for our sins. Ain't that good? God is so good. We need to remember that. We need to know that. We need to understand that when God looks at us, He's not holding over us the way we were last year. He's not holding over us the way we were this morning. I'm going to pick at you one more time, then I'll move on. God's not dealing with us with the way we were through the first 10 minutes of the sermon. I'm poking fun, but I want y'all to understand. God has forgiven us. That is further than just redeeming us. That is further than paying the price for us. God was willing to choose us. He was willing to place us into His Son. He was willing to give up His Son so that He could pay for our sins. And He doesn't even hold that over our head. I cost God His one and only begotten Son. And it's like it never happened. Because He is willing to forgive us. That's how good God is. I want y'all to know that you're forgiven. I want you to be thankful to God because you are a forgiven people. Y'all know that? All right. With that foundation, let's look at Matthew 6. And we look at the next keystone of our Christian life. You say you all know that you're forgiven. You say you all know how good and glorious that is. How many of us deserve forgiveness? What did it take for God to forgive us? His only begotten Son. For Him to shed His blood and to pour it out upon us. For Him to have to strip His Son of His righteousness and place it onto us. Forgiveness isn't free. And I tell you, it wasn't one cross and three nails that got it for you. It was the work being done in the man, not what man did to him to put him there. Please know the difference. One cross plus three nails does not equal forgiven. There were two other men hanging up there beside him. How many of them paid for your sins? Be careful what you say, Christians. It matters. That's a catchy phrase. One cross plus three nails equals forgiven. That's catchy, but neither one of them thieves paid for anything other than their own. It was the man and what God was working in him that wrought forgiveness. Don't give it to man. It ain't on us. Read with me here. I want to go through Jesus' model prayer again in Matthew chapter 6 as a way of getting into our next keystone of our Christian life. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father," verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I'm going to stop there. Now, how many of you say, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. What was all this talk about how we're forgiven already? What does this mean?" Is it understandable that there's misunderstandings within Christianity? Absolutely. If you take this section of Scripture and you remove it from the entirety of Scripture and you read just verse 14 and 15, what is it going to take for you to be forgiven of your sins? Our willingness to forgive others. And if we are unwilling to forgive others, then we are not going to be forgiven our sins. And what does that mean? At worst, it means we're going to be lost in hell for all eternity. At best, it means we're going to be at heaven, but God's constantly holding it over us and waiting for us to mess up so He can remind us again. Y'all know how good it is that you're here, right? That's best case scenario. If our forgiveness is dependent upon our forgiveness. So what is Jesus talking about here? How does this fit in? That's a contradiction in Scripture. Some would tell you that. But what do we know? Precept, precept, precept. There are no contradictions in Scripture. Scripture is divinely inspired of God and without mistake. If you are reading a section of Scripture and it seems to be contradicting other Scripture, then the problem is with our interpretation, not the Word of God. So what is Jesus talking about here? Because He follows this after His model prayer. When He's teaching His disciples, His apostles, how they are supposed to pray, and how they are supposed to teach and equip others to be able to pray. We looked last week at how important prayer is in our Christian life. If we are going to be a Christian, if we are going to seek God, prayer is of utmost importance. It is a constant conversation between us and God, constantly seeking Him and constantly understanding our need of Him. We need Him for our daily bread. We need Him for His will to be done in our life. We need Him to keep us from temptation, and we need Him to forgive us. Just the same as we need to forgive others. One of the keystones of our Christian life is our willingness to forgive others. We need to be a forgiving people. Because of all the people in the world, we understand what it took for God to forgive us. That is of utmost importance to us. Jesus follows up that model prayer with, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The words that are used here are very important. Jesus was indeed the perfect preacher. Just this morning, I had to stop myself and correct myself when I said Jesus had become sin, and I had to, whoop, nope, and I corrected that to Jesus was made to be sin for us. I use the wrong words sometimes. I've probably used the wrong grammar 3 or 4 times so far this morning. Jesus was perfect in His terminology. He was perfect in the words used. He was perfect in His examples. So when Jesus teaches, you need to pay attention to every word that He says. Notice, I'm going to be a good old Baptist here and tell you what He does not say. Notice what He does not say. "For if ye forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sin." Notice what He did not say. There is a difference between trespass and sin. And that's not just "thus saith John." Everybody knows Ephesians 2 and 1, right? "For you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." There's a difference between the two. We were dead in sin because of the fall of Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world and death upon all men. Romans 5. We were sin. Total depravity. We know these things. And we know that because of the fall of Adam, all of humanity was cast into being dead in sin. Right? But so many times when we consider total depravity and we consider what Adam has given us, we die because of the sin of Adam. We die because of the sin that is in us, that is given to us and passed down to us. We look at total depravity as if we're alien from it and we're just guilt by association and we're just dying because of Adam and Adam alone. Brothers and sisters, we are active in our sins. A trespass is when you willfully partake in that sin. Now, how many of you can raise your hand today and say you live a perfect life? I don't sin. I don't mess up. Now, brother and sister so-and-so down the street, they did me wrong 4 times last month, but I've never done them wrong. How many of you? It's a good time to be a Baptist and not raise your hand. Because none of us can say that. Jesus is talking temporally here. He has to be. Because we know by precept of Scripture, our eternal salvation, our eternal forgiveness is in the mind of God, and it is according to the blood of Christ plus nothing. There's too much about Scripture that tells us that to be true. Amen? We just spent a long time this morning on a really good remembrance of the forgiveness that God gave us through the blood of His Son and through His Son and nothing else. We are eternally forgiven. God will not deal with us according to our sins. On the last day, we went through this in our Bible study, and He reads the books of all of the things we have done wrong in our life, and He has got books worth on John Staten, I can tell you. They stack to the ceiling of the things that John's done wrong. And when He reads all of those things, and He can read all of those things because He knows all of those things, and He closes the book and says, those are dealt with. He's not going to deal with me according to my sin. He's not going to deal with me according to my transgressions. It is going to be because of the grace of God that I'm going to go to heaven. Through the blood of Christ and nothing else. Not according to my works, not according to my deeds, not according to my forgiveness, not according to my unwilling to forgive. It is all going to be through the grace of God and nothing else. But in this world, today, it matters what we do. God cares how you think. God cares how you act. God cares how you react. Y'all remember in the fifth chapter is where He tells us that if we come to worship Him and our brother has aught against us, we need to put our sacrifice down and go to our brother and make it right. Because it is our job to do so. Who set out to make it right when we were against God? Did He wait on us to come to Him? Or did He come to us to make it right? Y'all getting the picture yet? Jesus says in this world, in this life, and He's talking to His apostles, He's talking to His disciples, and yes, it is important for a preacher to know and understand this, that have I ever offended y'all? Probably. And if I haven't, then give it time. Y'all know I'm going to need y'all's forgiveness. But you know, I can't expect to stand up here and preach the truth of God, even if I'm preaching the truth of God, and y'all have to accept it as the truth of God. If I'm holding something against you and I offend you, I can't expect you to accept what I say if I'm still holding something over you. And the same goes for the other side. Well, that preacher said thus and so 2 years ago, so I'm not ever going back there again. Really? We're human. In this world, it matters how we act and how we do and how we deal with others. And Jesus makes it plain that our daily, our temporal, day-to-day life forgiveness from God. Because I promise you, we can go to John, 1 John 1 and 9 and tells you that if you say you're without sin, you make God a liar and you're not going to do it. You can't make God a liar. We know that in Titus. God who cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. 1 John 1 says that if you say you are without sin, you make God a liar, and that can't happen. Plainly, John is saying you all sin daily. There is not a one of us that can lay our head on the pillow at night and say, well, I made it through today perfectly. You probably did not. You had a wrong intention, you had a wrong thought, you had a wrong action. The wrong intention alone gets us daily. And if we're going to lay our head down at night and pray what Jesus says needs to be a part of our personal prayer life, Lord, forgive us, we need to be ready to forgive others. But we as a people, we as human, as sinful flesh, we have a tendency of making everybody else's sin worse than our own. We tend to make everybody else worse off than what we are. Well, I'm sure I've done them wrong in the past, but it's not like what they did to me. You know what it took for them to get forgiveness? The same blood. You know why God forgave them long before they ever messed up against you? The same blood that covers you. Their sin's not any worse than yours. If we're going to come to God daily and ask for forgiveness, we have to be ready to forgive others. Because in this world, God does deal with us according to our sins from time to time. Paul tells us plainly in the book of Hebrews that if you have gone without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons. Is that plain enough? God deals with us in this world according to our actions. One of the chiefest, one of the biggest, one of the clearest things that God will deal with us according to our sins in this world is the removal of the kingdom living that Jesus is trying to teach us about here. You will not fully understand and experience the love of God and the joy of Christ and the peace of the Spirit if you are constantly stewing on what somebody else has done against you. It's like a cancer. If you hold on to something somebody has done to you in the past, and you hold on to it, and you stew over it, and you dwell on it, and every time you look at them, you have to bite your tongue and hold back, how are you going to share with them the love of Christ if you're having to expel all of your energy on not taking their head off for what they did to you? How are you going to do it? You can't. It is such a waste of energy. Because you are no better than they are. You required the death of Jesus the same as they did. And God was willing to forgive us when we did not deserve it. John tells us in that same John 1 and 9, he tells us that if we confess our sins, then is God faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is He faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them? Because they're already paid for. They're already dealt with. He will accept the work that is done. Did y'all hear that? God is willing to accept the work that is finished for the transgressions that you do today, that you do tomorrow, that you'll do next year, and it's been nearly 2,000 years since those things happened. He is willing to accept that payment as full and forgive us our sin. When we choose, oh, brothers and sisters, this is hard on me. It's been hard on me as I've been thinking about this. When we choose to not forgive somebody, we are refusing to accept the finished work of Christ. Because that wrong that someone has done to you, Jesus died for that wrong. And that wrong has been paid for. And that wrong has been forgiven in the eyes of God. And I'm refusing to accept the finished works of Christ and holding it over their head. That's hard. But Jesus says that this is a big piece of our Christian life, of our willingness to forgive, our willingness to let go, our willingness to give it to God. This world is hard. This world is harsh. Been dealing with faith some as she continues to grow up, and I don't mean to embarrass her, but I grew up a preacher's kid. I know what it's like. Getting ready for college. And this dad doesn't like that, by the way. This dad didn't much care for standing on a college campus watching her hold up a pennant like she's fixed to go to college. That ain't right in my head, but that's just me. She ain't supposed to be that big yet. She's starting to think of some things, but she's still thinking of them very one-dimensional because she's not old enough yet. And that's not just that, just dad. She's not old enough yet. She's not experienced it yet. Have to teach her some things. The world's hard. The world's not fair. The world is going to hurt you. The world is going to offend you. You are going to be hurt. You are going to be offended. People are going to wrong you. You are going to wrong people. You're going to work for people that are absolutely terrible people. But that's not your problem. And you can have the world view of constantly viewing them as terrible people. And it's very easy to do so. I've had them before. I can tell you, I had one boss that I'd just about rather strangle him than say hi to him. He didn't know more. I'll move on. See? It's just that easy. Because the world is hard. And you are right in being hurt and offended. So we need to learn the entire lesson of our forgiveness. God was right to be offended at us. God had a righteous indignation against us because of our sins. When we were in that darkness, and we were darkness the same as everyone else, God would have been just and right to leave it alone and left us there because we had offended Him. We had angered Him. We had done wrong against Him. And we had done absolutely nothing to try to make it up. God was right to be offended. You are going to be offended. You are going to be hurt. You are going to be wronged. And you are going to be right in being offended and hurt and dismayed and disgruntled over it. You are going to be right in being so. Forgiveness is not about being right or wrong in your indignation. Chances are you are perfectly right in being offended. But forgiveness is not about that. You can't live your life trying to avoid being hurt. You can't live your life trying to avoid being offended. You'll become a recluse and you'll offend yourself. And you'll miss out on everything God's trying to give you. Forgiveness is about choosing to leave it there. You're right in being offended. You're right in being upset. But God's dealt with that. God's took care of it. God's on your side. Did y'all know that? Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's not just talking eternally. God is for us daily. He's on our side. We are His children. God's dealt with that. Whew. You know, God was just as offended by what they did to you as you were. You ever thought of that? If you are right in being offended, God was just as offended by it as you were. Probably more so. You know what He did? He dealt with it. You know what He's already done? Forgiven them. Are we bigger than God? Are we more righteous than He is? Do we deserve to hold on to our anger more than God? Ooh, I hope y'all see how personal forgiveness is. And how good He is. We need to be those that forgive. And the reason that we need to be those that forgive is because we need to be those that recognize how much we need forgiveness. I recognize how much I offend God daily, and chances are I have wronged somebody else through the day. Lord, please forgive me and help me to let go of those things that have come against me today. And when you see them tomorrow, or you see them later on that same day, you don't have to wait till you go to bed to try to forgive somebody. Y'all know that? When you see them later that day, don't be sitting over trying to bite your tongue because you're just ready to rip them again. Got to leave it there. That's hard, isn't it? Nobody ever said being a Christian was easy. Look at the life of Christ. That man did not have an easy life. Everyone he knew turned his back on him. Everyone that loved him. See, it was tempting for me to say everybody he thought loved him. No, everyone that loved him turned their back on him. Nobody ever said being a Christian was easy. But it is so, so very worth it. I hope you understand that. I thank you. God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing His will. The saints in glory. Gathered by the crystal sea.